All right, Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, talking things over this morning with Toby Whiteman, Dave Whiteman, and Gentry Whiteman. I look at the season, Coach Whiteman. There was there's a lot of like people behind the scenes that maybe don't get a lot of thanks. I know John Holbert at Rock Ridge takes all the pictures. And if there's like a great like moment of the relationship between father and son or the connection you have, I think all three were involved in the picture. There was a picture he took perfectly at Monmouth Roseville. And Gentry's like, I think, left of the circle. And he's taking this three, and this kid from Monmouth Roseville has the hand in his face. I don't remember if you remember the picture. And then you're kind of pacing along the sideline right behind the play, and then Dave Whiteman sitting back behind him. I mean, that is like, that's the moment, man. That's kind of that is the picture of, hey, I, you know, this is what it's kind of all about. And then the Rockets won by like 40 that night too, to add even something better to the picture.
Yeah, and John, you know, John's captured. It's funny you brought his name up, because just last night he dropped off a, I wouldn't even call it a zip drive. I mean, it was like a terabyte drive. The label of it is Marianne Whiteman. And John dropped that off for my mom, and it literally has every picture that he has ever taken of Gentry since seventh
Holy
grade.
Holy smokes, are you kidding?
Oh, no. And you look at that stuff, and I was kind of looking through it last night, and you just, I'm like, wow, I could, you know, you could sit there for probably 6 hours all night long just looking through everything. I was trying to find a picture because I got to send it off. But, I mean, for what he's done, you know, and it started out, I think, it started out with him, you know, just going to his kids' things. And then all of a sudden it's turned into him, you know, with all the sports up there and doing posters. And, I mean, he's, you know, there's just so many things. And I've always said it, in order to have a good program, it takes more than good coaches and good players. I mean, it takes great parents. It takes great kids. It takes great administration. You know, and it takes great people that are friends, you know, friends of the program, or just, you know, just want to be involved and help out and to make it better. I mean, I know Jeff Martin's the last 2 years has put together a slideshow, and his slideshow is just, you know, it's got the Hoosiers music to it. It's phenomenal. I mean, you know, everything, the parents. But I honestly believe it starts with the parents, because, you know, I always have that, we always have that player-parent meeting at the beginning of the year, and we talk to the parents about, and I think, you know, it's funny, but I always started out with this, and I say to them, I'm like, this is the only thing I ask of the parents. I said, there are going to be many times where you don't agree with me, you don't agree with the coaching staff, you don't agree with our decisions. And I said, that's perfectly fine. You can do that. You can complain all you want. And they all just kind of look around like, is he really saying this? And I'm like, just keep it away from your kids. Let us coach them. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, you're not going to agree. And I said, you have every right. Your kid's on our team. And I raised my hand. I said, I got kids. My kids have played for coaches that I didn't agree with what they were doing. I'm like, but just keep it away from them. And I said, anything you're saying is nothing worse than what I'm going to get home from my wife, because my wife tells me how to coach all the time and who I should be playing. So, but that's even a better story. I remember, it might have been my first year here.
I bet she doesn't yell at the officials as much as my wife does.
No. Tracy doesn't yell at the officials. She yells at Gentry and she yells at me. So, but no, I remember my first year here, we had a situation where one of our kids had to sit out a game, and it was like 3 or 4 nights away, and everybody kind of knew it, and I had an idea who I was going to start and who had earned it, and I came home, and she's like, well, who are you going to start? And I just looked at her. I said, well, you know, it's going to be between this and this, but I kind of had an idea. And she's like, well, I think you need to start AJ.
Oh, my God.
And I looked at her, and I said, you do? And she goes, yeah. She goes, AJ needs to start. He deserves it. I'm like, oh. I said, so you think that, huh? And I said, well, when's the last practice you showed up to? And she got snippy with me, and of course I get snippy back with her, and I ended up sleeping on the couch that night, and AJ was the guy I was looking at, and I did start him, but I told AJ's parents, and I'm like,
right, Tracy.
I don't know I don't know what it is, but I told AJ Johnson, I told Kathy and Brent, I'm like, man, I said, Tracy really likes AJ and likes your family.
Yeah. Well, so do you see any similarities coaching style Dave Whiteman, with Toby Whiteman at all? Are you? Can you draw any comparisons with you coaching Toby and Kirk, with Toby coaching Gentry?
Yeah,
and there's two more Whitemans coming through.
I hope, two more of his, and then there's four down in Lincoln. I would say Toby is going to experience a different personality in each one of the kids that he coaches. A real quick story, like I said, I was offensive coordinator for Dennis Larson at Knoxville. And when Kirk came through as quarterback, his sophomore year, he got a little playing time as a punter and some quarterback. But for 2 years, I would be talking to Kirk and basically calling the plays with Denny overriding them. And when Toby came along and was going to be quarterback starting senior year, Dennis would see Toby and I go round and round like he does with Gentry. And it came out that the line coach, who weighed about 350, Dennis came up with the head coach idea, Dave, you call the play to Dave Bass, and Dave will give it to Toby so you guys won't argue and you won't get us a penalty for delay a game. So, I mean, it's different on each one. But I did want to point out, when you were talking about family, when Toby went up there and inherited Katie Hassan as a principal, I knew it was a good place. I'd coached against Rock Ridge all the way back into the early 80s in the Olympic, and then we're out in the Prairie Land and back in the Olympic. So I knew it was a good place, but in Toby and Gentry's involvement, I didn't realize how good it was. And my one moment in all of this 6 years of their Rock Ridge success is when Nolan Stevens hurts a knee in the Western Tournament. And, I mean, they had that good team. They had lost Happ, but they still had Heath. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, right there, man, this is it. And within seconds, Dakota McManus steps out and just takes that job. And they don't miss a second of what Toby's been teaching. And that's one that got him down to third place in the state. And see, Rock Ridge is full of those kind of kids. I'm real good friends with Jason Foy, who's Justin's dad, and he should be a stud pitcher for him this year. And we keep in contact. And they just have kids in wrestling and softball that don't get the big notoriety. But that's, to me, where it's really made. And I will point out this last thing. When Rock Ridge got third in the state, they were bringing five of the top seven back. When they got second, they were again bringing five of the top seven. This year, Frakes and Whiteman were the only two with what I call that experience of where Toby's yelling at them and the big pressure games. And so Frakes and Whiteman this year had to adjust to guys for the first time in the limelight. And they did a heck of a job with 20 wins.
Yeah, no question. And Gentry, if I remember correctly, so when your dad took the job, you were what grade?
I was in seventh grade.
That's a tough time to move. Uh-huh. And you were well-established at Abingdon, and I know played ball down there.
Yep.
You know, why don't you kind of explain your adjustment and all this? I remember I coached junior high basketball at Mercer County when you started playing at Rock Ridge. And I always remember they used to run that. And I always tell the kids we're coaching, they're running that double screen, top of the key to get Whiteman open, and they're going to let him take a three. And we were playing in Joy, and it's a close game, and it's out of a timeout. They're going to run that double screen. He's going to get the ball at the top of the key, and he's going to take the three. So defend that. Well, what do? They run the double staggered screen on top, gets the top of the key, takes the three, makes it. But anyway, digress to junior high basketball days. But what about the move from Abingdon, where you were really established? And they had some good kids down there and a good team down there, too, and you moved to Rock Ridge. What about that?
I still got a lot of friends in Abingdon. They're great people down there, but I'm thankful for the move because, like we've talked about, opportunities, it created so many more and so much better opportunities. When I went out for basketball in seventh grade, I had a whole different team, a lot of new people. It was me and Carson. We had a lot of other good people that were overlooked. I mean, you saw Cade Kendall this year. Mm-hmm. He didn't even want to go out for basketball, his sophomore year? Didn't even want to go out for basketball. And then he turned into our best defensive player, making it to sectionals in the three-point shootout. You got Brandon Trost. He got playing time on and off this year, but that kid can shoot, and he's a great kid. Me and him like to play video games a lot together, and He's just a great person other than basketball. Then you got, I mean, heck yeah, a lot of juniors this year, but back to the move, it was great. And it was really a great thing to happen to me because all the success that's happened through high school. And, yeah, that's all I can say is it's great.
Well, and for you, we're talking about the numbness of the season ending because, you know, you played with half your freshman year and you got to experience that. And then your sophomore year, you know, gets a little bit better. You go to state and you finish third. You experience that. Your junior year, you know, you get to the state title game. And then, like I said, you know, we take for granted, like, the expectations. We're going to keep playing. I don't care what the score is. We're going to win. We're going to play. And then, boom, well, that's they say that the great line in sports, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And that's sometimes the great part of high school sports when you're on the losing end. You know, that's still, like I tell people, you know, that's one of the greatest games I broadcast, that Friday night game that Rockridge actually lost. And I always tell Coach Walter, one of the greatest football games I ever watched at Aledo was when Aledo lost to Stillman Valley in the quarterfinals down here at Pratt Memorial Field, because, you know, it's just a great game. But what about kind of, you know, the emotions of that unbelievable four-year run for you just kind of coming to an end? And I don't know if you came to the realization that night when you took the jersey off that, like,
over. Yeah, our expectations were definitely to, you know, win the regional championship, and that didn't go as we wanted, but I still can't overlook the last 3 years. Even that first year as a freshman, we didn't get to state, but I played with the Big Ten Freshman of the Year and Wisconsin signee. I mean, yeah. And then I can't overlook third place in state, and then Carson Shaw, and then playing in the state championship. You got to be grateful. You got to be thankful. And I'm definitely thankful I was able to experience everything. I mean, even this year, I'm grateful I got to play in a regional championship game. And I just can't overlook what happened the last 3 years, too.
Well, as we're winding down here, for you, give me a moment where you'll always remember playing with half. Is there one thing that stands out? Like when you're watching a Wisconsin game now and you see him playing, reflect back. Is there like a certain memory that comes up? Maybe it's a practice.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe it's like a game memory.
Well, there's two. I'll tell this one first, and it kind of involves dad here too. But we're playing Geneseo, and they got Himmelman, who's also 6'9" high school, and it's a 2-on-1 fast break, and Himmelman's looking at Ethan and back to me, and then he goes and just straight up guards Ethan, leaves me open for the layup, and I'm a scared freshman, so I throw it up for the lob to Ethan, and Ethan catches it one-handed Odell Beckham style, doesn't land, but throws it up, makes it. They call a timeout. I'm heading back, and Ethan goes, just shoot that. And then before he can finish that, I'm getting yelled at by him saying, you know, hey, don't be a scared freshman. You know, lay that up. It's just, yeah.
All right, give me a – from you, I don't know, is there like one, and there's been, I mean, this is probably like a really dumb, unfair question, but is there like one moment that stands out to you when you watch Gentry play where you say, my kid's a pretty good player?
Is it my jump shot?
Yeah. Well, I told you, and I told you this year, the greatest compliment I give you this year is everybody talks about what a terrific scorer you are, and you are, but I think the tremendous defender you've become. You know, your progression from your freshman, sophomore, junior to senior. Because some of the big plays you made this year that I tell people, they were on the defensive end where you get a steal. And I always call them the cheap hoop. You get the steal and you get the layup, the easy hoop. So I've always been impressed with that development. Because I know Coach Whiteman will hate me saying this, but I'm still going to tell everybody the team to beat in the area next year is the Rockets. You know, I don't care who they lost. You know, I don't care if Orion or Mercer County or whatever, Monmouth, Roosevelt, or whatever any area school is, Rockridge is still the team to beat. And the reason I say that is because how they defend. The game is a defensive game. You have to get stops on the defensive end. And like if you watch the good 3A, 4A teams I've watched, you know, the past couple of years, how they win, they get in your face and they guard you. And you have to guard people. So So long story short, getting back to Gentry, the question I asked, I mean, was there a moment where you said, oh, that this kid deserves the recognition he gets? Maybe that's not a fair question.
I think
you,
it
there
was,
has to be something that stands out.
I think it was last year. When you talk about defense, I mean, I always kind of prided myself as a coach of, you know, getting your kids to play hard and get after defensively because, you know, not everything goes perfect on the offensive end, but you can really strive to be perfect every time defensively. And I always thought that, you know, we did that when I first got here. But really when Coach Say came on board, we kind of took it to the next level. And that was the first year we were able to make it down the state. And, you know, some of the things that he brought to the table were pretty phenomenal. And I think gave us that next step. And last year, I think there was probably two or three times where Coach Say was that buffer between me and Gentry. You know, I'm wanting Gentry to play just solid. You know, and when I say solid point guard, I think about the Hill kid from Augustana. Mm-hmm. Just solid, straight solid. And at the end of the night, when you look at the box score, you're like, well, the kid had 25 points and he had like 6 boards and he had 7 assists and 4 steals and you just never would have thought that watching the game because it was all quiet, but he just controlled the game from where he was at. And that's always what I envision, you know, Gentry being. And, you know, Coach Say kept saying last year, and there are certain games, he's like, you know, son, he goes, you know, Toby, son, you got to let him eat. You know, you got to let him eat sometimes. You got to let him go. You got to let him go. And I'm just looking at him like, I just don't know. He's like, you know, trust me on this. Trust me on this. So, I mean, I think, and there, I'd say probably eight and a half times, 9 times out of 10 last year when Andy said that, and we did let him do that, that it worked out in our favor. You know, the 1.5 times or the 2 times it didn't, you know, that's probably when you saw me in the hallway, yeah, you know, doing my thing. But, you know, I think it was, you know, again, I think it was back, it was last year when I really saw it. And a lot of it had to do with Coach Say telling me to kind of take the reins off a little bit and letting him do some things that, you know, I didn't normally want him to do. But, you know, again, that's one thing I've learned, you know, from my dad is, you know, if you really want to be good at what you do, especially if you're going to be a head coach, you got to surround yourself with good assistant coaches. And, you know, I've been lucky enough that my six years there, I've had, you know, 3 really good ones and they aren't even really assistants in my mind. They're like head coaches.
Yeah.
And Andy has really, you know, helped out. I mean, I haven't helped out, but I mean, he's just as much a part of this program than anybody in it. And he's the one that would allow that to happen or talk me into it.
Well, I got to ask you, Gentry, and I told Coach Whiteman this before, that I remember when I was covering Hap all those years, and I remember his senior year after he was getting all the attention and deservedly so. But there are situations like that where you understand, you know, there can be jealousy and the rivalry of people can say horrible things to 16 or 17 year old kids. And I always tell Coach Whiteman, I talk about the story. One of my favorite moments about covering Hap is I remember we were doing the game over in Kewaunee. And when we broadcast in Kewaunee, we're up in that balcony. And I'm watching this guy in the course of the whole game. You know, this is an adult, a guy like me, just screaming and berating this high school basketball player. So the game ends, and that's the night that Rock Ridge went over there and won by 50.
Oh, yeah.
They played the hotly contested game that mm-hmm. year in Edgington. So after the game, here's Hap down there, and he's signing stuff for people, a bunch of Kewaunee people, and I see this guy, and I'm standing up in the corner, and I'm saying to myself, don't, whatever you do, do not sign that. So what does he do? Hap goes over, and he signs that. I mean, he takes the higher ground, as you say. So, but you know, you can see some horrible things when you watch high school sports. Now, but I tell people, you have to have fun in it all. And sometimes I like kind of the interaction between student sections and kids. But I want to ask you, what type of stuff did you take during some of these seasons where they know your dad's the coach and you're playing and you're running in front of the student section? Do you ever hear any of that type of stuff?
Daddy's Boy was a big one. that was a big one. Sherrard started that last year.
Now, are you allowed to have any interaction with the other student sections? Well, that's probably
no, not at all.
Yeah.
No. Has anybody said any stuff to you that has crossed the line?
Not that I know.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I always worry about that.
I tune out a lot of stuff. I don't pay the best attention to what I should pay attention to, let alone the stuff that I don't need to pay attention to.
I can attest. I can attest to that.
All right. Well, Dave, as we wind down, this is a pretty good thing we got at Rock Ridge, isn't it?
Yep. I've been sitting here, and I know you, Gentry, and Toby could probably put me down in trivia. How many three-pointers did Gentry make? How many dunks did Hap make? I'm going to surprise all of you here and tell you a stat, and I know it's probably in the book. In 4 years of high school basketball, my grandson Gentry got 2 technicals. They were this year. And I think when I tell you about them, it will speak of how Rock Ridge plays basketball. The first one was at the Western Tournament, and Gentry made a motion to his arm and kind of mouthed to the referee, "Can I get a call?" And he got a T, and Toby's yelling, "See, what did the kid say?" Immediately, Gentry Whiteman is jerked out and set on the bench and has his little butt chewed for getting a technical. Later on in the year, we're playing at Fulton. Fulton had a good team. They had a 240, 50-pound football-type player. And down in the corner, and this is a good official, completely blocked by that kid, he went for a ball. Riley Federer beat him to him, and that kid put his hand on his numbers and shoved him into the bleachers. And Gentry went and put an elbow on that big kid. And he got a T. Here's the end result. My wife says, "What's wrong with Toby? He should be taking Gentry out now, like he did down at Western." I go, "It's a whole different deal. Gentry's T came because he was supporting his teammate, and he'll probably get his little butt chewed, but he will not come out of the game because he's sticking up for his teammate."
Yeah, amen. Well, as we wrap up, I just want to thank, it's been a good 6-year ride, with hanging out with the Whiteman, so it's been awesome. And I know Marianne and Tracy can't be here, and like I started the conversation, man, you guys married up. You married up. So I want to thank Coach Whiteman. It's been a fun ride, and I'm sorry I put the target on your back that you're still the team to beat.
No, that's all right. Thank you very much. And it's not only for, and I told you this on the last one, but not only for Rock Ridge, but for all the area sports. And I told you when I was growing up, we had that with WGIL and Ray Smith down there, and what you do, what WRMJ does for high school sports in this area is the best. It's second to none, so I
agree.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Awesome. With the Whitemans with us, that'll wrap it up on the WRMJ Sports Line. 9 to 12, we have Bid for Bargains. Hold on. John Oshite wants to say something.
I know a way these guys can make it up to their wives.
Buy something on Bid for Bargains.
Exactly.
All right. All right. That'll wrap it up on the WRMJ Sports Line.